700 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. This past week, the Biden administration warning China not to send lethal aid to Russia to help the brutal invasion of Ukraine. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on ABC's This Week on whether China is heeding that warning for now.
We are watching closely. We know they haven't taken it off the table, and we are sending a clear message, as are our European allies, that this would be a real mistake because those weapons would be used to bombard cities and kill civilians.
The EPA is now getting more involved in transporting contaminated soil and water from the scene of the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, after some of it showed up in other states without notice. Brittany Griner, in a surprise appearance at the NAACP Image Awards, called on people to fight for the release of every American detained overseas. Tonight, it's the Screen Actors Guild Awards, streaming on the Netflix YouTube channel. Last year's top winners at the SAG Awards exactly matched the winners at the Oscars. This is ABC News. A fisherman from Dominica says he survived weeks on ketchup while lost at sea last year. Now one of the biggest ketchup companies in the world wants to do more to help him recover financially with a brand new boat.
Last December, Elvis Francois spent 24 days lost at sea. He survived by eating ketchup and seasoning before he was rescued and taken back to Dominica. Heinz Ketchup now wants to buy him a new boat. They sent a social media SOS to track him down, and it worked. Elvis says he has met with Heinz.
They're going to organize, I believe, might be finance to help to buy a boat.
Heinz tells ABC News they are now working out logistics. Anselm Gibbs, ABC News, Port of Spain, Trinidad.
More travel headaches are possible. A major storm bringing heavy snow and damaging winds will be moving across the entire country over the next few days, eventually moving into the Northeast by Tuesday. I'm Dave Packer. ABC News.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. A lot of people are spending a lot of time looking at screens these days. One Wisconsin doctor says he's worried about prolonged exposure to blue light and how unhealthy that can be. Mike Moen reports.
In addition to the sun, digital screens are a source of blue light. Optometrist Bryce Christofferson in western Wisconsin says one risk from overexposure is interfering with the body's circadian rhythm, the internal clock that regulates a person's sleep cycle.
If you're working on a tablet, your computer, or smartphone, or whatever before you go to sleep, it can make it harder to fall asleep.
That can produce problems such as lower productivity and headaches. He suggests wearing blue light blocking glasses when looking at a screen for long periods. Other tips include taking breaks around every 20 minutes from digital screens by looking at something else at least 20 feet away for 20 seconds. And of course, limit screen time before bed. Dr. Scott Edmonds, Chief Eye Care Officer for United Healthcare Vision, says specialists became concerned during the pandemic about blue light exposure as more people were relying heavily on digital screens at home. He worries that soon, as some of the same concerns will surface about blue light that happened with ultraviolet light.
The photoreceptors can certainly process blue light, but it puts a lot of strain on them, and we're concerned that over time the retina will become damaged and we'll start to see age-related macular degeneration from this, like we did with UV light.
In addition to taking screen breaks, eye care professionals recommend making sure your computer screens are clear and clean as researchers continue to study potential dangers. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our Ray Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing, advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again. Like,
yeah.
I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Common Sense for a Friday, February 24th, 2023. It is another beautiful day on Lake Wissota, although a very, very cold morning on Lake Wissota. It is 8 below 0 here, still above zero down in Madison, where we will talk to Aaron Zommers in just a moment, but in the teens below zero in other places not far from here. So keep that in mind if your school district is resuming things today. Some places might have closed for the rest of the week because of that snowstorm, but others are open today, and it's a lot colder than it's been at the bus stop most recently. Coming up this morning, the whole nation is watching our state Supreme Court race. With apologies to our friend Kristen Bry, as goes Wisconsin, so goes America's 2024 presidential election. And we're not kidding. In 2020, keep in mind, three of the current conservative Supreme Court justices were willing to consider throwing out, I'd been saying tens of thousands for the past several days. No, I went back and looked. The number was 221,000 legally cast ballots that Donald Trump was seeking to have thrown out. And the state Supreme Court, those conservative justices, were willing to consider that if it hadn't been for swing conservative Justice Brian Hagedorn saying, no, you filed this way too late and you should have filed it before you knew you lost, if you really thought you saw something wrong with the system. But the three conservatives, the other conservatives, were willing to go along. So if former conservative Justice Dan Kelly gets back on the court as someone who was paid to advise Republicans on the fake elector scheme, could valid ballots be thrown out in 2024 and affect every state in the union in a close presidential election? We'll talk to Kia Vakil about that at the bottom of this hour. Then in the next hour, attacking the watchdogs. Now that Roe v. Wade has been repealed, right-wing politicians are going after other landmark cases that protect Americans. In one instance, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is taking steps to throw out long-held legal protections for reporters who uncover corruption and threats against democracy. Mark Jacob, a former editor with the Chicago Tribune and Chicago Sun-Times, will talk about the dangers of powerful politicians being able to intimidate or even silence a free press. As mentioned, we'll check in with weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Vachitsky about the weekend weather outlook all across Wisconsin. And Dan Schumacher, our friend and UW-Eau Claire athletic director, will join us near the end of the show to preview how things look for sports for this coming weekend. If you want to reach the show, we got phone numbers. I got to bring them up. Here we go. If you're watching on Facebook, now you can write it down. 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. Our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And normally I would say, let's say good morning to producer Aaron Zommers, but it's actually bigger than that. Aaron Zommers joins us now with breaking news, breaking snowplow news, apparently. This is big stuff from our correspondent, Aaron Zommers. Aaron, tell us the latest on snowplows.
Good morning. Aaron Zommers from our Madison correspondent. Snowplow names election results. The Streets and Engineering Division are happy to announce the winners of the snowplow equipment naming election. They received well over 3,000 votes for each of the four pieces of equipment. I would like to thank Wisconsin Saltwise for hosting this election. So, The quad axle brine truck, the winning name is Saltimus Prime.
Well, Saltimus Prime. Very nice.
While Saltimus is more than meets the eye, there's no disguising the positive effect the saltwater brine treatment can have when it rolls out to treat the roads prior to snowstorms.
Okay, what's next?
The MT7 trackless bike path plow is Snowby One Kenobi.
Snowby One Kenobi. Okay, I see what they did there.
From a certain point of view, Snowby One Kenobi is an elegant plow vehicle for our bicycling age. May the force be with Snowby One, always.
Right, number three.
The loader with plow and wing is Seymour Pavement.
Seymour Pavement.
Seymour sounds more like a name for a dentist than a plow truck, which made this one a close race to the end. But voters kept feeding ballots to him, and then suddenly Seymour won.
I don't know if in Madison we won't talk about feeding ballots into something, but that's a discussion for another time. Yeah. And I believe there's one more.
The last one, the dual-wing plow truck, is Dolly Plowton.
Dolly Plowton.
Dolly is the best little plow truck in Madison, working much longer hours than just 9 to 5. It is known for creating the wintry favorites, I Will Always Plow You In, and Snow Lean during the same overnight shift.
Oh, my. Here's the thing. When I woke up this morning, and I woke up well before my alarm, so somewhere in the middle of the night, I noticed that Mr. Zommers had sent me a text that said we had to make room for breaking news. And then I saw something about Madison's snowplows, and then I think I fell back to sleep for a little bit. But I knew to be prepared for this crucial update that I know you were following closely.
Oh, yes.
Apparently.
I saw that released on the city of Madison's website, and I just thought, wow, they really went for it, and we need to share this.
Good deal. All right, well, there you go. And I mean, honestly, I'm not tired of it yet, because you see other cities, other states do snow plow naming. Look, whatever helps us get through winter, you know, we'll take it, because winters are long here. And why just have a snow plow when you can have give me a couple of those names again? Dolly Plowton.
Well, you can have Seymour Pavement.
Snowby One Kenobi.
Yep, and Saltimus Prime.
Saltimus Prime, yes, there you go. All right, heard it here first, folks. Breaking news. We'll take a break, talk more about what's in the news around Wisconsin next. This is Up North News Radio for a Friday. This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
We're going to have an update in just a sec here on a topic we first mentioned earlier in the week. Actually it was on Wednesday when we had two state representatives in here to talk about the next CRT, the next right-wing distraction meant to get people riled up about something that should otherwise be common sense. And we'll talk about more responsible investing in just a sec. First off, a couple of other headlines to note. We did not get a chance to mention it on the program yesterday because shortly afterwards, the announcement came down that former Governor Tony Earle had passed away at the age of 86. And former Governor Earle had a lifetime of service. And I mean, he worked first to his country in the U.S. Navy, and then as an assistant district attorney, I believe it was, in Marathon County, and then city attorney in Wausau. And then he worked for, or he ran for, the state assembly. In October of 1969, there was a special election there because the assembly rep who had been serving in that seat was Dave Obey. And Dave Obey had just won a special election to Congress to take the place of Republican Mel Laird to be the new president, Richard Nixon's defense secretary, if memory serves me correctly. So Republican Melvin Laird moved from Congress into the cabinet of President Nixon. Democrat Dave Obey then moved from the state assembly seat up there in Marathon County to the congressional seat. And then Tony Earle moved into the state assembly. He stayed in that post, becoming majority leader from 1972 to 1974. Then he worked in the administrations of three different governors, Patrick Lucey, Marty Schreiber, Lee Dreyfus. Part of that time included being the secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And Tony Earle ran for governor in 1982. He ran for re-election in 1986, but lost to Tommy Thompson, who that was his first of four elections as governor. Tony Earle is going to be remembered for a couple of major things that he can be proud of, not just his lifetime of service, but his stewardship of the Wisconsin environment. You know, a lot of time when people talk about Tony Evers, the current governor, they sometimes slip up and they say Tony Earle, thinking about, you know, the former governor. And the interesting thing is there are some similarities in the way that they served in roles in leadership, even at the state level before becoming governor. When you think of Tony Evers, you think of somebody who for a long time was the state superintendent of public instruction. For Tony Earle, it was coming up through being secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. So in both cases, you have these Democratic governors, coincidentally named Tony, but who understood the importance of something like education in Wisconsin or the environment in something like Wisconsin, which, again, we think would be obvious to everybody, but it is not. And that's why we appreciate the leaders that we have in those roles. But the other thing that Tony Earle is going to be remembered for is something that we all take for granted now, but his early activism in promoting equality for members of the LGBTQ community is something that has endeared him to many people. It was trailblazing at the time. Not that nobody was doing it, but very few people were making, you know, opportunities available for people to serve. He issued an executive order that established a process for gay people to bring discrimination complaints. He created a governor's council on gay and lesbian issues. He appointed an openly gay man as his press secretary. Tammy Baldwin, who went on to become the first openly gay person ever elected to the U.S. Senate, was an intern in Earle's office. And Representative Mark Pocan, a member of the LGBT community, volunteered on Tony Earle's first campaign for governor when he was in high school. And these are things that at the time, you know, Earl also appointed the state's first female Department of Administration secretary and first Black cabinet member. And these kinds of things, he said, are taken as a given now when he talked to the Associated Press about 10 years ago when asked to kind of, you know, look back at his career. It was a career where he tried to come back in 1988 to run for U.S. Senate, but he lost in the Democratic primary to Herb Kohl, who went on to be elected multiple times. So Tony Earl then set up shop in Madison as an attorney and as an advocate for government reform. He suffered a stroke last weekend and passed away yesterday at the age of 86. When you see flags at half staff today, you'll see them that way through March 3rd, based on an executive order from Governor Evers. And then they will be lowered one more time at some point on the day of his funeral or celebration of life once that is scheduled. So that was one of our first headlines that we wanted to talk about. Another that is unfortunate to pass along is that a couple in Marshfield learned this week that their son, 28 years old, died while he was fighting in Ukraine. This story originally comes from Karen Madden at the Marshfield News Herald. He was fighting for the International Legion for the Defense of Ukraine. His name was Andrew Peters. He was a U.S. Army veteran. He had served a tour in Afghanistan in 2014, according to his father, John Peters. Andrew Peters joined the International League in late November, a couple of months back, and he was killed in action Thursday of last week. He, according to his parents, always had a strong sense of what was right and wrong. He felt the need to use his prior military combat skills to help the Ukrainian people fight and liberate their country. Andrew was extremely close to his fellow soldiers and was well-liked by everyone. His parents say, "We are all extremely proud of his bravery and selfless sacrifice." Now, we mentioned a little bit earlier about responsible investing. And it's got an acronym, ESG, which is all about, you know, keeping the environment and social causes in mind. And when you had Francesca Hong and Christina Shelton from Green Bay on, there were concerns that they had learned about that this so-called ESG investing, environmental, social, and governance investing, would be targeted by the right wing as, you know, quote unquote, woke investing. And sure enough, here we are a couple of days after that warning that this was going to be coming up. And we've learned since that the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty has filed a lawsuit related to ESG investing. They have filed it against the U.S. Secretary of Labor over a new rule that permits the use of environmental, social, and governance factors in retirement investing. Now, a statement from Will makes a claim here that I think deserves to be talked about, saying that, quote, "By injecting highly partisan issues like climate change and racial justice into investment strategy, the Biden administration is jeopardizing the retirement income of more than 140 million Americans." I don't see it that way. In fact, I see this as a net plus for America's retirees. This lawsuit is claiming to guard against investment mismanagement and abuse. What ESG does is reward companies who choose not to mismanage or abuse their workers, the natural resources, their consumers, and the public. In the opinion of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, Will, which brought this lawsuit, and everything else that you're going to hear attacking ESG investing, to them, it has always been, dating back to the Reagan era, always about the fiduciary duty. Fiduciary duty sounds rather lofty and noble, and like we're always looking to maximize shareholder value because the shareholders are the owners of a company. But really, when we talk about fiduciary duty, it's now meant to be at the expense of everything else. It's pure profit ahead of everything. I'm investing in this company, but I know that it's got a, you know, a pipeline that's polluting the waters, but you know, it's making me money. The company's turning a profit. This country is doing business with, you know, another firm in another country that, you know, uses slave labor. Well, yeah, but you know, they're turning a profit. They just did a stock buyback. Look at this price. Look at your portfolio. Instead, with ESG investing, it seems to me you're going to have companies that are going to have strategies for doing their business in a sustainable way. They are going to look for what's called operational efficiencies. They're going to engage in practices that are going to lead to a lower turnover of employees, I believe. And in the end, we'll benefit by getting back to something that sounds, you know, rather nostalgic, but I believe can still exist. And that's the hometown company. The company that will not necessarily chase profit at the expense of, you know, polluting its hometown or discriminating against members of its community. When we talk about corporate citizenship, it used to mean that companies wanted to be a good corporate neighbor where they were. But then we got to a time where it got easier than ever for companies, when they grew large enough, to move out of the country, become a multinational corporation. And at that point, they lost that connection with their hometowns. And eventually they lost that connection with their country, always looking for tax loopholes for, you know, offshore investments and what have you. And whatever they do in those other countries, we're supposed to not care about, because again, you know, as long as the stock price goes up, what's it matter? And I think enough people have seen that flaw, that perversion of capitalism over the past 40 years or so, and said, you know, I think it's time for this pendulum to come back. And we can't require companies to do things in other countries necessarily, but we also don't have to invest in them anymore. We can make other investment decisions. Not every profit, or not every company that engages in poor practices, are the only ones that are profitable. We can find other places to invest that will turn a profit as well. So this argument that ESG investing somehow is going to cost money for retirees has no merit. There's no proof of that whatsoever. And in fact, you can make the case that investment in smarter, more responsible companies is going to be the way to go. But this lawsuit now is going to make its way through from Will. I mean, this is the same Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty that has been at the center of things like gerrymandering, helping ensure that this current state Supreme Court, you know, protected the rigged maps, in fact, even made them more gerrymandered. This is the same group, right-wing legal group, that brought lawsuits that led to the end of COVID safeguards. It's a group that stirred up trouble in the Keele School District and basically interfered with an investigation into, you know, whether a student's rights were violated. It got it basically helped kill an investigation into potentially illegal collusion between the Scott Walker campaign and outside groups. Basically, if something has been sliding backwards in Wisconsin government or Wisconsin policies, there's a pretty good chance there's a Will lawsuit at the center of it. And now they're trying to sue to make sure that responsible investing somehow gets a black eye. And some of us, it's about time we pushed back. We will take a break. We will talk to Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil about the national attention being given to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
If Friday nights mean fish fries, we're your station. Civic Media for the Fox River Valley.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. This past week, the Biden administration warning China not to send lethal aid to Russia to help the brutal invasion of Ukraine. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on ABC's This Week on whether China is heeding that warning for now.
We are watching closely. We know they haven't taken it off the table. And we are sending a clear message, as are our European allies, that this would be a real mistake, because those weapons would be used to bombard cities and kill civilians.
The EPA is now getting more involved in transporting contaminated soil and water from the scene of the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, after some of it showed up in other states without notice. Brittany Griner, in a surprise appearance at the NAACP Image Awards, called on people to fight for the release of every American detained overseas. Tonight, it's the Screen Actors Guild Awards, streaming on the Netflix YouTube channel. Last year's top winners at the SAG Awards exactly matched the winners at the Oscars. This is ABC News.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners. Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
I asked Aaron to find us something that sums up how tough it is to be an adolescent. Well done, Mr. Somers. Good work out of you. All right, it's time for Hometown Health. Dr. Lyerly, each week at this time, brings us some guests that are doing wonders in trying to make sure an entire community can stay healthy, get answers to their questions. And this time we are talking about a particular age demographic and a special focus from a clinic in Northeast Wisconsin, Kristen. So tell us more about that as you introduce our guests this week.
Boy, do we have a treat for you this morning. So we've got Dr. Sherry Hoyman and Kim Shefchik, PA extraordinaire, and they have used their talents and their friendship, I should add, over many years to pull together a really unique clinic. So those of us who are parents who have had young children who've seen pediatricians recognize that our kids get to that point where maybe a pediatrician isn't the best person for them, but maybe they're not quite ready to see a grown-up doctor. And recognizing this all those years ago, Kim and Sherry came together and decided to create an incredible adolescent clinic. So Kim and Sherry, welcome to Hometown Health. Tell us about your clinic.
Gosh, now it's like rock, paper, scissors. Who goes first?
Right? You're into it. Yeah, well, thank you for having us. This is really a treat to be here, actually. We're super excited about our clinic. And as you said, it's kind of been a long time coming. Kim and I, about probably, I don't know, Kim, what was it, about 8 years ago, we went to a conference. We, you know, as friends, we thought, oh, it'll be fun to go to a conference together. And we did have a lot of fun there, I will say. But we also sure did learn a lot. And our big takeaway was, boy, there's a lot we could do for adolescents in our area. And what if they had their own space and their own clinic to go to for all of these things that adolescents have to make them much more comfortable? And, you know, not in the, you know, I am a pediatrician, so I'm happy that adolescents want to see me as a pediatrician, but, you know, sometimes in the pediatrician's office, you see a lot of kind of baby decor and, you know, in some of my rooms, there's farm animals on the walls and, you know, there used to be Dora the Explorer and, you know, different characters that are appropriate for the young age. But, you know, as you get to be older, you can laugh about it, but it still doesn't feel so comfortable to be sitting in those rooms.
Yeah, to have your own space is important at whatever age group. I mean, I'm going on a beach vacation next month, and I was telling my wife, I would like very much to find a beach where everybody there is in their late 50s. I don't want to be walking around shirtless with a bunch of people in their 20s. That to me would be the Dora the Explorer stickers on my doctor's office wall. And you want that place where, again, it's your own space, it's your own comfort. Kim, tell us more about that, about your discussions with Sherry and why you think having a kind of a standalone place like this is so important.
Well, we were at a conference on pediatric and adolescent gynecology, and you can imagine how awkward those stages and phases of life can be. And we kind of went, you know, it's awkward enough to have to come in. What if we created a space that was less awkward, that it felt a little bit more like home? And if you walk into our space, if you're an adolescent, you start to notice things that feel like your vibe, like your place. We really went kind of and broke the mold of the typical Bellin colors and Bellin design, and made a lot of artistic and visual changes that may seem really little, but they're huge. You know, adolescents come in and they're used to technology. They're used to having something to scan as a QR code. And so we've tried to make that that space feel less awkward for them. And then also understanding that parents are often coming in too. So we make sure that we see them with their parents when they come with parent or guardian, and then we have time alone with the adolescents so that we can talk and get to know them better.
And your background is women's health. Sherry's background is pediatrics. Thinking about young girls as they are developing and they get to that point, you know, 11, 12, 13, we're talking about periods. We're talking about potentially 14, 15, you know, onset of sexual activity. There are so many things that need to be discussed that are really hard to talk about. Tell us how you approach some of those sensitive subjects with your patients, recognizing that they're a really vulnerable population.
I personally have found if I just let them talk, they're not used to having a space where they get to just talk, because they were used to coming into the pediatrician's office and, you know, often their parent talks for them. So it doesn't always happen. The conversation doesn't always come out with the parent. Although we sometimes try to bring it up, you know, a lot of times we'll ask about periods, any concerns with periods. And then often, you know, mom or dad or grandma will chime in. But when we have the parent go to the waiting room, often, you know, the patient comes out and really speaks about what their concerns are. I always try to ask about school, any issues with school. And that's that's also when things come up. I think it's hard for some, even though they're so much more open about periods and menstruation and tampons and all of that. They're used to talking about it, not hiding that tampon of shame like we did when we were growing up. But it's still a conversation that feels uncomfortable for them to talk to an adult. But once we give them that stage, it's amazing to me. I don't know, Sherry, if you would say the same thing. I feel like they're bringing it up.
Yeah, I would say the same. And I also think the fact that we're so comfortable talking about it and it's just so normal, natural. Even adolescent boys and talking about the things that they're going through, it's just part of life. And so we just talk about it like that's the way it is. It's part of life. And let's try to make it as easy for you as possible and answer any questions you have about it. So
I had a patient tell me recently that, do you like specialize in awkward? And I said, you know what? I think that's going on my tombstone. She specialized in awkward.
Knowing you, that's perfect.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
So, Sherry, how do you approach patients differently in a setting like this than you would in your traditional pediatric setting?
I don't know that I approach them completely different, to be honest, at this age, but I think that there's just the comfort level of where they are and what's surrounding them. And it's pretty obvious when you walk through the space that we accept everyone and anyone, and anything's fair game to talk about in that space. So I feel like the space opens to more conversation. But you know, I always start my visits by telling teens that my job is to keep you happy, healthy, and safe. So let's try to figure out how to make that happen. And you can tell me anything and everything. And while I love your parent being here, I don't need your parent here for most of the things that you may want to talk about. And I can keep things confidential if you tell me that you're safe and that you're not hurting your body. And I don't have any concerns about those things. So, and you know, I definitely try to keep parents involved in the teen's care in every way possible. But we all know there are teens out there that wouldn't come get help if they didn't know that things could be kept confidential. And so we do honor that for them in that situation.
I think that safe space that you create is absolutely critical for this population. And I think that we've always known that, but actually creating that physical space has a giant impact. And never before in this state has it been more important for people to have a place where they can come and talk about questions and things that they're hearing in the world and get good, accurate information.
And to do so, as I think it was Kim that mentioned, you were able to break out of the corporate palette. You know, that every corporation has a brand book. And so, Kim, for you to mention that you could make it look more welcoming to adolescents and not necessarily stick with the corporate colors. I mean, I'm sure other folks are looking at you going, what kind of rebels are you? How did you manage to talk them into it? But clearly your discussions with other folks at Bellin held sway about the importance of that.
Yeah, we were fortunate to work with the Adolescent Health Institute. We had a grant, actually, in order to become kind of gold star providers of adolescent medicine. There were certain criteria that we needed to meet to satisfy that grant application. And Bellin fully supported us to create that safe space, as well as respect, you know, all of the people that come through our door. So that means, like Dr. Hyman said, doesn't matter what you're coming in for, who you are, who are you bringing with you, and then making sure that, you know, that we really strive to just do what's best for our patients. And we were just very fortunate that, you know, the timing was right. Bellin was on board. We had support from this grant initiative to do things a little bit differently. And they're little things. I mean, I have people ask me all the time, like, well, what do you mean an adolescent clinic? And what does that look like? And it's kind of hard to describe unless you see it. But I have teens all the time that come in and they sit down in the exam room and they look at the walls and they look at the little, I guess, you know, insightful phrases that we've put on the walls and little pictures. It's such a nuanced thing, but it's real. And patients perceive that.
Mm-hmm. And the colors, I think the coloring that we used, it's not the typical, you know, beiges and the greens and purples that some places have used. We've really kind of broken the mold completely, and bright colors, tie dye, you know, there's boards they can write on if they want with chalk or markers, and give us their insight into things. There's signs up saying we welcome everyone. So it definitely is it's a warm, inviting space, but fun also. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, we had adolescents help us with it. We started doing some things and said, what do you think? Should we do it differently? And, you know, got a lot of great advice from them as well.
So in our final couple of minutes, we probably can't talk to all three, all the groups, doctors beyond Bellin, administrators, certainly adolescents, and then parents. But let's just focus on the parents of adolescents who are not in your area. And so they will not have this kind of a specialized clinic, but they still want their teen or preteen to, you know, get the most out of their healthcare. What are the things that those parents should know about their adolescents' health and healthcare and doctor visits? When you see parents, what is the one thing that maybe you think they should change, or the one thing that they should always keep in mind to do? Kim, you want to start that?
Well, that is an excellent question. As a parent of two adolescents actively going through that phase, man, just one word, listen, listen, and truly give them time to talk. I think, you know, we were all on those drive home, you know, well, before they're driving themselves home and they're in that vehicle with you, that is one of the most golden moments of your life. And you just have to listen. And then also, I think the second piece I would say is allowing them to start that transition into adulthood, encouraging them to take that brave step out of the nest and saying, you know what, you have an appointment today. These are the things that you will probably be asked, and I want you to take the lead. How do you feel about that? You know, just checking in with them and giving them those little nudges.
Our job as parents is not to protect them forever. It's to teach them how to live in the real world. And that's incredible. Sherry, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with everything Kim says. Honestly, I tell parents that all the time. Anytime you have the opportunity to drive your kids somewhere and just listen to what's happening in the back seat with their friends, that's huge. You're going to learn a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's something you file away and you talk about at a different time. You don't talk about it then. Give them space, you know, and pick your battles and make sure you find the things to talk about at the right time. And, you know, if your child's not in the right mood, it's not the right time to start opening a big can of worms to talk about. But, you know, I think listening and watching. If your adolescent is starting to do things that are different, you know, not their typical, skipping out on sports that they loved so much before, those are things you just need to pay attention to and
look for those key indicators. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Sherry Hoyman, Kim Shefchik, thank you so much. We really appreciate the visit. Kristen, thanks so much for bringing some great guests here once again.
We have some incredible things happening in our communities, and Sherry and Kim are those people.
And we'll be back with Luke Mathers after this. You're up north.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go. Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Oh, it just occurs to me, Dan Schumacher, that I checked in with you, like I always do, to find out what Grateful Dead song you want to hear on Fridays, and you gave me one, and I forgot to pass it along to Aaron, so I don't know what Aaron did. Actually, could you catch what Aaron was playing there?
I didn't. I didn't catch it. Did
Aaron, can you bring it back up, or is it gone?
Yep. Fire on the Mountain.
There we go. That's it. And that is Name That Tune with Dan Schumacher. Name That Grateful Dead Tune. How are you this week? This is a busy one for you.
It really is. It's been constantly trying to rearrange schedules because of this storm. So,
yes,
you know, technically we were supposed to play basketball Wednesday and Thursday night and playoff basketball, but it did not work. So we had to move it to Friday, Saturday. Along with wrestling was moved. Hockey's are going to be fine because they were set to play across the state on Friday night and Saturday, so we were good there. Everything got pushed or moved to a new date, new time, and as long as there was no new location, because people were objecting to changing home field advantage just to get around the storm.
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, just look at the hullabaloo in the NFL. If the AFC championship were to have been played on a neutral site, that, you know, people want their home field advantage, and they'll wait a day or something to get it. But, you know, it's again a reminder that behind the scenes, beyond the athletic talent of the folks on the team, there are logistics and folks that have to do that don't get nearly attention they should until something like this comes up. So this storm comes up, and you're up on the Chippewa River, you know, not too far from Jim Falls. And I was asking you if anybody was ice fishing out there on that stretch of the river. And you're telling me, no, it's actually more like a recreational trail.
It is that you don't see too many people up here fishing. You might see them down a little bit, a couple blocks down the water here, but I see mostly cross country skiers and snowmobilers are whip up here just to get to the edge of the water, where it opens up north of here, and then turn around and come back. So,
to which I can only say, come on, man.
I've also seen planes go pad. I've seen planes land in front on skis.
Yes, we do. We do have a couple of planes like that here. You had the Jigs Up ice fishing tournament as well.
Yeah, record day. And I attribute that to the weather. I mean, we doubled our kids fishing tournament to it. People from around the state came. Somebody from New Berlin, Wisconsin, won the truck. There was prize winners from Rhinelander to Madison. It really has become an attraction statewide for people to come from all over, which fills up the hotels and is good for economic development here with the chambers.
Yeah, exactly. Let's look over at college basketball quick before I lose my train of thought. Marquette, 10th ranked in the nation. They will be hosting DePaul tomorrow evening at 6:30. The Badger men's basketball team is going to be playing in Michigan. That's on Sunday at 1:00. We are getting very close to conference tournaments and to March Madness. And everybody says the Badgers are, you know, like one of the first four out.
Yeah,
I don't know if
they got a good win this week. They beat Iowa, so that was a good win for them to get kind of put things back on track. And if they can get something at Michigan, Is it Michigan or Michigan State do they have?
Michigan.
Oh, that's always fun because Juwan and guard don't exactly get along.
Oh, that's right. Had that incident last, that was last season, wasn't it?
It was. And they played at the Kohl Center and everything was fine, but they, you know, they were just playing fake friends, as I always put it. So, but it's a big week for everybody's conference room down, you know, what they've done down at Marquette with Shaka, he's done a great job. I mean, he's won everywhere he's gone. He's no matter how small of Division One, you know, low mid major he's been at, he's won, and he brought that game to Marquette. And look at what he's doing at Marquette. I'm sure I was listening the other day to somebody talking about, well, would he go to the Badgers if there was a change? And no, I don't think so. I don't think McIntosh is going to make a change with guard. I think guard is going to get another season.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's turn to the NBA and, as I like to call it, wristwatch.
Yeah.
After Giannis Antetokounmpo injured his wrist about a week ago, and I guess he was practicing yesterday. It was lightly taped, but we won't find out until about 5:30 tonight whether he'll take part in a 6:30 game. And, I mean, is there any way to get around, you know, so much attention over one wrist on one athlete? I mean, when you're riding a 12 game winning streak, so I guess every little thing, a hangnail, you know, would do it.
Well, he's MVP. I mean, you're talking about the MVP of the NBA, or at least one of the one, two, or three people that are probably that stick out the most. You know, the way they were playing like they were on fire and ready to go and ready to win another NBA championship. So it's no different to me than waiting to see when Aaron Rodgers comes out of darkness. Okay.
Well, so that's the other thing. Apparently, those were the headlines yesterday that he emerged from his cocoon. Again, who cares? But
I know.
But he did. So we get to.
Did you see the video of it? Have you seen the video?
No. Was there video?
There's video out there from the owner of the place in Oregon where he went.
Oh God.
And there is lights inside the cabin. He's just choosing not to have them on or something. I don't know what the whole deal is, but somebody took a camera in there and they interviewed the owner of the place that. Because the owner was the one who divulged to the media that he has now been released from darkness.
Did he see his shadow? I mean, come on.
Yeah, what did I see the joke? Yeah, he saw a shadow and Green Bay will not have a Super Bowl for 12 months.
It's just unbelievable. So. six more weeks of pointless questions about will he or won't he. So let's get to something much more in the here and now. Spring training baseball, the games begin tomorrow. Brewers are playing the Dodgers. And you being a Southsider,
you're a Southside, but North
Southsider, but a Northside fan. There we go. I got it right there. Have you made your have you looked at the calendar yet and identified the first Cubs games you're going to? After all, the Brewers open the season at Wrigley Field at the end of March.
Yeah, no, I haven't yet, but I will. I'm going to try to see. They occasionally have played the Twins, the Cubs and Twins play. So I've been interested in going over and seeing. I've not been to the Target Field.
Yeah.
So I've been kind of interested to try to find it. I'm not too appealed to go watch the White Sox too much, especially last year. But if the Cubs are playing the Twins, if there's that crossover of those divisions, I definitely will try to make it there. But if not, there'll be sometime in the summer I'll make it to Wrigley Field.
Wait a minute.
Outside of the Grateful Dead concerts.
So you want, of course. So you want to be one of those annoying Cubs fans at the visitors' ballpark, like the way that American Family Field. Fan,
but I will wear my Cubs jersey.
Okay.
Probably my Mark Grace or, you know, Ryan Sandberg one. But you know, Cub fans are everywhere.
Yes, they are. No doubt.
They're everywhere.
Dan Schumacher, thanks so much. Have a great weekend, buddy.
Yeah, you too, man.
All right. Take care. Yep. Coming up on Monday, it'll be another edition of Motherhood Monday, where we'll talk to the folks from Motherhood for Good, and they will talk about what busy moms need to know about all of the school board elections happening around Wisconsin on April 4th. Again, remember, you can follow me on Facebook. Look for Pat Kreitlow Up North or Pat Kreitlow on Twitter. That's Kreitlow. Up next, Earl Ingram in Waukesha, Oshkosh, and Green Bay. Stephanie Miller in Madison. Todd Alba across the rest of the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Monday. You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W247